If you could, won't you stand with us this morning as we read the word of the Lord? Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now if you would turn your page or go down to verse 32. We want to continue reading there in the same chapter. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without should not be made perfect. You bow your heads with us as we look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Willard, do you care to lead us in prayer?
Most kind Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for further reading of thy word. Now we pray your riches of blessings upon it. Be with the one, O God, that stands to break the bread of life before us. We ask you, O God, to anoint with the Spirit from upon high. Lord, we ask you this morning, if there be one here, O God, that's lost and undone, today will be the day that their heart would be convicted, and Lord, that they come to know you in a free pardon of sin. Now go with us down through the further parts of this service. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Willard. Turn your attention with me back to the beginning of chapter 11 where we was reading. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We've used that many times. A wonderful definition of faith that we use and we oftentimes quote helps us as we go through the journey of life to understand what faith is. But it's a little more than that. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Talking about the unseen thing, the unseen hand we hear. The thing which we cannot see with our eyes is what we have faith in. Now, when you read through this chapter, you read about, and I marked a while ago some of the names, but Abel and Enoch, Noah there, it goes on with Abraham, and a good portion of this chapter is covering some of the works of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. Continues down to where we talked about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. So it's been referenced this chapter as a hall of the heroes. I've heard it called that, maybe thinking of Hall of Fame and playing off that a little bit. But certainly the heroes of faith, and there's many others that we read about in the Bible. I thought the end of this chapter done a fantastic job about talking about some of the actions and works of many of those saints of God that we read about. And it talks about their maybe whether they had cruel mockings and scourgings in verse 36, or talks about what they were wearing there with sheepskins and goatskins. We can pretty quickly relate maybe John the Baptist or some of the apostles through the acts that's recorded in Hebrews 11. But it's built upon this beginning of chapter 11 talking about the faith that these folks had. Whether maybe it was some of the ladies who had their child brought to life, maybe Lazarus was resurrected, mentioned in this chapter so much. But it says here that, talking of God, that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So we all have that driving force in our life. That's something that moves us, that motivates us. What would create or cause someone to get up every morning, 5, 6, whatever time your day might start, to go off and work into a job, hopefully that you enjoy and love, but from what I hear, many are in a circumstance situation where they don't particularly enjoy their work. And labor at that job, whether it be 8, 9, 10, sometimes 11, 12 hours a day, to provide for your family, to come home, to have the means to live life as you live it. What would motivate and move somebody to do such a thing? What would move someone to maybe go to the hospital and sit for a night, 2 nights, a week, a month, and longer? What would move someone to take what financial means they have? And many times, and most of us can relate to this, if not now, sometimes in our life, take what financial substance and means that we have to purchase gifts to put under a beautiful tree like we have here, maybe in our home, all the while not having the things we need for our own life, and wrap it into a present to give to others. We all have something that's driving our actions. Something that moves inside of us. Now, this something that we're talking about, it's unseen. You can't see this thing. So I've shared with you the story, and it's a personal story, and I like using those sometimes. I think it helps, but I remember this moment in life. We all have a moment somewhere in life where things click. And it can be about, you know, that's a pretty broad statement. But I can remember that time that Dad, at Christmas time, that I received gifts from Mom and Dad. Everything a child could want, right? Whatever the gift, every thing was, thing that you could imagine that you could want. Christmas was that at our house. We didn't get a lot of stuff, but we got gifts. And Christmas was fantastic. I tried to capture that just yesterday, by the way, so you know this. I'll tell you a quick story so you can grin a little bit. So Amy took me to some special sale yesterday of a place that had the best sales ever. And when walking through this pile of stuff, lots of it, there was a record player. And everybody needs a record player, and I don't have a record player, so there was a record player. And some of you little ones may not know what a record player is. Believe it or not, it's a big CD. Great big one. So I grabbed it up. I mean, it was a great deal. She was right. This was the deal of all deals. This was a great deal for like near $30. I could get this record player. And I was going to capture my youth. Because I could remember at home we had these records and Christmas music. And Rudolph, and there was others. But Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was one song. I loved the song. It was so great. Still like it. But I remember Mom had it on record, and you just can't duplicate that song unless you get the noise that a record generates. I mean, it's extra, it's special. So I picked it up, put it in the truck, and went home. And over at Mom and Dad's last night, we started sifting through the records, and there it was. Tinkerbell was the name, by the way. Some of you might have it. Yellow label, Tinkerbell record, and it's got Rudolph on it. It was fantastic. Took me back several years. We put it on the record player and turned it, and sure enough, in a minute, some music started. Some of you just heard that. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you is like, Brother Doug's lost his mind. That's the little ones. Because Christmas was that great for us. We didn't have a lot of money. But Christmas was great because, boy, we built up to it. Maybe that's why it was so great, because we didn't get a whole lot of stuff throughout the year. But Christmas was great, and it was full of love. But that moment for me was when I had Christmas, and I remember walking through the house a day or two after Christmas, and Dad was putting a T-shirt on that he wore underneath his, and it was had holes in it. And I'm like, Dad, why are you wearing that T-shirt? And I laughed at him because that was the craziest thing. Never dawned on me that the reason he put that shirt on and still wore it with holes because he was saving up so that I could have a present, and it took a little time for that to all register in my mind. Now, don't have pity. I'm not asking or telling you that. We had everything we needed. We never were hungry. But that was a sacrifice that Dad made so that his boys and his family could have a Christmas present that we wanted under the tree. And when that kind of clicked, I was like, oh, that's what love is. Now I'm starting to put this together. See, I'm growing. But I couldn't hold it. It was unseen, is what I'm trying to tell you. There's something that moves us. Whether it's that love that we're talking about, whether it's, it could be a good thing like that love, but it could also be a bad thing. You've heard of pride. And pride can be okay to, I guess, to an extent, but when you become too so proud that you become prideful and that pride is unseen, but I've seen people too proud of themselves. Or maybe it's jealousy, and you've seen jealousy move people. And folks, I've never held jealousy. Again, these are things that are not seen. These are things that are unseen, and it drives and motivates people in their life, and it creates actions in our life. Whether it's the love that my parents have shared with me in my life, and I'm so thankful for, or whether it's jealousy that I've seen and even had in my own life, or whether it's being too proud or a host of other things, and we can all relate our story of something, but we've seen that unseen thing that moves inside of people and drives us to action. And I'm sure most of you have these unseen things, whether it be love, as I've shared with you this morning, and I've seen it in most everyone here, or whether it be something else, but it moves us. Matter of fact, it moves us more than the things we can see. For the things we can see are tangible, but it's the intangible things that drive people. And God, knowing this, allowed Paul to write to us that this unseen thing, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, saying these unseen things that we're talking, what ought to move us is this unseen thing called faith. And this chapter 11 talks about the works and actions of the different saints of God, that the unseen faith they had in God moved them to great works. Now, what great works? Well, that's why I read the end of the chapter, because I thought some of this was fantastic. Quench the violence of fire. Well, let me go back to 32. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. We've read that, right? We know a little bit about the life of Daniel. Know a little bit about. Quench the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. You might think of Gideon. Gideon's mentioned a couple of times here. You might think about Gideon, who was down in the wine presses. Listen, Gideon was just worried. He was not a strong man. Matter of fact, if you would define maybe a little bit cowardly even. But God used him to be a mighty warrior, strong leader. But I like this one. Wax valiant fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. We wouldn't think about fleeing. We wouldn't think about flight. We wouldn't think about that as being a courageous act of faith in God. But yes, it can be. And goes on, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. So the unseen thing that moved these saints of God that we read about was faith. Faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in God. Maybe no better example than Abraham of this. Abraham left His family's home, left the house and went into the wilderness toward the Canaan land that God had told him to go, and lived in the wilderness and left behind the pleasures of civilization because he had faith in God, the faith that God would provide him with a way, a faith that God would provide him with a family, a better way than what he knew before, a better way than living in the civilized world, a better way than living in his family's home with who we expect through history teaches they were pretty wealthy. But Abraham left this because God moved him. Not by something that he could see, not by something tangible, not by a great light. I know it's Christmas and we talked about the star a little bit. I'm talking about the unseen thing. He was moved. The unseen thing in his life that moved him was faith in God. Now we're all moved by something that's unseen, whether that be the love, and how could love be bad? Love must be good, Brother Adam, because love is just that. It's when we share our love with somebody. But let me remind you this morning that love not based on God is not good. It's just an emotion. It's just a good act that we do for someone else. But love based on God, that becomes that which is good. So it's love that God has shared with us that becomes the work of good. See, it's that unseen thing that moves us. There's a lot of people that have a definition of what we call love in the world. They share one with another. But it doesn't mean that it's a work of a Christian life. It doesn't mean it's a reflection of Christ Jesus. It means that they show good works to each other. See, I have seen two people that's gotten married and tell each other they love them. I have seen them do very good things for each other. Give of their time and their substance, whatever they might have. But I've seen that fail, and I've seen it fall apart, and I've seen those marriages turn into divorces. What happened? Did they not love each other? No, it was not based around the love of God. See, there's a difference in the type of love that's in this world. Both are unseen. One's based on God, which is faith, and one's based on worldliness. So everybody has something that moves us, and that something is not what we have in our hand. You say, well, I know people that work countless hours for money, and they've got enough money already. They don't need any more. It's money, Brother Doug, that they're moved. No, they're moved by the love of money, which the Bible says is actually the root of all evil. They're moved by such a thing, and that's the unseen thing of their life that moves them. Big strong guys, big strong soldiers, big strong men. Women that's courageous and willing to put themselves in a line of battle or in harm's way to help others. Listen, that's well and good and a great work that they do. But when it becomes for the honor and not for the love of God, then that's a different work. See, we have something that moves us. You have something that moves us. I have noticed in my time of being in church and serving God that what moves most families today is family. What moves most mom and dads is family. What moves most grandma and grandpas is family. What moves most children is family. Family is still the structure that moves people today, folks. But family is wonderful, and it's ordained of God. It's how God has set forth this world to be. And that becomes the unseen thing that moves Him, working and loving of the family. But folks, when that structure is not based around this faith that we're talking about here in chapter 11, then that structure is not built upon a rock that'll withstand the wiles of the world. See, there's a difference in that unseen thing in our life being love for the family and the love of God that moves us in our family. So we have something that's unseen. We have something that drives us. You are driven today. Now, well, I've seen a few people didn't seem driven. I have two. Matter of fact, that place where I work, we bring in folks to a temporary service. And when I was involved with that more closely, I remember you bring about 10 in, and you hoped that 5 stayed after lunch. And then you hoped of those 5, 2 or 3 would come back the next day, and if you got 1 to make it a week, you did good. And you do that multiple times to try to get one person hired that would stay and work. Now, there's a lot of reasons, and I don't know all those reasons that move somebody, but we had one particular person that was a very good employee, had worked there for a couple of weeks, or maybe it was a little longer, I can't remember the exact time. And he was approached and said, hey, we like the job you're doing. We was interested in moving him to full time, which is a pretty good honor in Campbellsville. We max out almost $20 an hour, not too bad in a production facility. He said, oh, wait. He said, I'm just working so I can buy me one of these game systems. He was trying to make $400. He wasn't mad. He wasn't upset. He's a great worker. I mean, he knows that a grindstone when he come in the morning. Like, really? That's what drove him. He wanted him a game system. Well, that's good. Enjoy the game. But I'd love to see him get more drive. Right? But something drives. And I'm not picking on him. Listen, there's people that are a lot worse than that. Some people won't even go work for that. I'm just talking about what moves and drives us in our life.
But we are driven, be certain of that. You're driven by something. Maybe you're driven about getting out of work. Yeah, see, well, you've seen some of that, right? I mean, I believe in doing something the right way. I believe in thinking something through and not just blindly going at it. I've had others that look at me and say, if you had got to work instead of sitting there looking at it, you'd have got it done already. And they were right. I've seen some people just go at it. But I've seen some that'll work all day not to work. I got a lot of things left to see. I've seen a few things. But they were driven not to have to work. But we have something that drives us. If you take nothing else, I want you to know that you're driven this morning. Something drives you in your life. And that's what this is written about here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Here, Paul said, that unseen thing in your life called faith, that's what should be driving you. I don't know what's been driving you before today. I don't know if it's to get out of work, it's to make money, it's to garner more work. I don't know if it's the love of your family, the love of somebody. Maybe it's a car, a hobby. I don't know, but whatever it is that's driving you, Paul said you need to be driven not by the things of this world, but driven by the unseen thing of this thing called faith today. And I'll do you better now. I'll give you a definition of it. The faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now listen, church, we have a hope for something in our life. I remember Christmas. I shared with you my story. I had hope for that wonderful Christmas present. 1979, we lived in Indiana, and I wasn't very old. I was going on five. I was 5 years old. It was a big snowstorm that year. Happened just after Christmas. I think 78, maybe there was one here. 79 in Scottsburg, Indiana. All this to tell you, I had a great desire for a watch. It was a Snoopy watch. Snoopy was my hero growing up. And it was a Snoopy watch, and the hand of it was a tennis racket, and the second hand was a tennis ball. That thing would float around the screen. It was the coolest thing ever made. And that's what I wanted. My brother was wanting a shotgun, and my sister was wanting a horse. Now, there's a wide variety of things there. And that was the desire for Christmas that year. And just so happened to be that Christmas, there was a Snoopy watch, a 410 shotgun, and a horse. A very ornery horse, but it was still there. And I can remember that at only 5 years old, but I remember because it was such a desire of mine for that watch. I'm not sure why, because you know what happened here about springtime? I lost the watch. The watch was gone. It showed up about a year later. It was in the yard and it still worked. It's an amazing watch. There's no question in that. The wristband, we still have the watch today. But listen to me. I lost the watch. It wasn't so important after the fact. You know, I wanted it. I had a desire. And some 30 plus years later, I can remember the desire for that watch. But within a matter of weeks or months, I had already lost the watch. My desire was not placed where it should be, as expected from someone 5 years of age. But how many times in life can we look back and see how our desire was so focused on something because it wasn't around the faith in Christ Jesus? Because our driving factor in our life is not around faith. But when we get our faith in alignment with the Son of God, that's when our name goes into the record book, or better said than that, the Lamb's Book of Life. That's when we hear stories like in Paul. Paul's writing here, when that unseen thing drives me to my feet, to the works, to the actions of my life, they change because of my faith in God. That's when I start knowing what life is about. See, what I'm telling you is, you had a desire for a watch. You have a desire for your family. You have a desire for a better home for your family. I mean, the list can go on and on. And you'll put actions to that. Another example. I think I've told most, but this year we was lucky enough that Miss Amy agreed and we bought us a boat this year. I think most people's heard that. So if you see out on the water, you're just likely to see me out there fishing a little bit, enjoy it. That's a big decision. It's a big decision in our life. Let me assure you that. One not to take lightly. But it's amazing. Now, Amy's the grounded one in our family. If you didn't already know that, I'm going to tell you all that, right? It's amazing when you start looking at your finances to see what you might be able to afford and can't afford, how you can start reasoning things out pretty quick. I mean, I tell you, I can start reasoning, oh, yeah, we don't need any TV. We can just cut that thing off. That's crazy to spend that. Knowing all the well, we aren't going to get rid of TV. Cut the electric down. That'll save us $30, $40 here. We can do this over here and save us a little bit there. We can start saving here on this over here. Then get us a down payment. Start putting all this reasoning together. Why? Because you want something. You have a desire for something. Because something's driving you to do it. All the while, little Miss Amy's over here tapping her foot like, nope. Wrong, wrong, wrong. She messed up this time. She said, okay. Right out the door I went. Done. See, but that's what happens when our desire, that thing that moves us inside, becomes something that we want, and it starts putting actions over. I can work a few extra hours on Saturday. I can do this other job over here. I can do, and if we're not careful, before we know it, we're in trouble financially, right? But it doesn't have to be finances. It can be family. It can be work. It can be a lot of things that do that. What Paul is saying here, when that unseen thing that drives us to action becomes faith in God, well, we better watch out. Now, that's when life starts coming together and love will start spilling out. That's when life becomes good, my friend. See, when you're not driven by the boat, when you're not driven by the car, when you're not driven by a do-good moment, but you're driven by the love of God and that Jesus Christ came and gave His life, that's when your life changes. When the actions of life start being moved by the unseen thing called faith and the substance of things hoped for, when my treasures that's laid up is not in the garage, but it's in heaven, I fear. I'm telling you, that's when life changes. Doesn't mean you can't have good things. You can. God expects and I believe wants His people to be blessed. I'm just saying get your unseen motivator. Get it to be the faith in God. A lot of good people go to the house of worship. A lot of good people go to church. I'm saying there's a lot of good acts that's done during Christmas. And that's why this is the greatest season of the year. But just a random act of kindness, a work of love is not enough. It's got to be through faith in Christ Jesus. The substance of things hoped for. We have hope, but what is our hope? Is our hope to go to the lake and go fishing? Is our hope to have a bigger house so the family can get together for a Christmas dinner? Is our hope in the things of this world? Is our hope in the things of heaven and things of Christ? See, when I read about Abraham, that's exactly what I find. I find a man whose hope was not in the things of this world. Although he was very wealthy, even the king of Egypt blessed him with a great offering of stuff and monetary value. But Abraham's faith was not in the king of Egypt. It was in the God of heaven. Perfect? No, he made mistakes. He even used deception about his own wife there in Egypt. You might remember, this man was not perfect, and you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, but his faith was grounded in the God of heaven. And his actions become from that faith that was unseen in the God of heaven. What else would make a man leave his family and the riches they had to go to the wilderness? What else would make a man move to an uninhabited area, dangerous land? What else would make a man take his only son of the father? Hey, we're talking about Isaac. I mean, the promised son, let me say it that way, and lay him on an altar to sacrifice him. Who could imagine? Did he have a desire for a child? Absolutely. He and his wife put a plan together to have a child. That was their decision, not God's decision. They had a great desire to have a family, but God had made a promise to them. And this promised child, he laid out on an altar to take his life. Why couldn't, how could this be? It's because his faith, the unseen thing that motivated him, was not in the things of this world, but it was in Christ Jesus. It was in God. See, and God had told him to offer up his son for a sacrifice. He was so moved by that. Here's what happens in life when our faith is centered around God. Then our actions start mimicking that unseen thing inside. Probably won't make sense to me. Probably won't even make sense to your husband and your wife. Probably won't make sense to your children. But it'll make sense to God because God's using you and moving you. What moves a person to give to somebody they don't know a value of money that's more than they have to really give? I'll tell you, it's called love. Is it an act of goodness? If it is, good, well, and done, my friend. But if God so moves you to give that, you better get in the checkbook and write out a check and take it down and give that offering to whomever God so moved in your life, because now that's that unseen thing called faith. Why? Because our substance is in things hoped for. I hope for a better life than the one that's on this side of eternity, although it's full of blessings, and I sure do have a lot of love, and I enjoy this side. I hope for something better on the other side. Don't you? Amen. Don't you want something more than what this side of heaven has to offer? And I've got just enough evidence to know that's real and to see it, because ever so often God passes by through His Spirit, touches my soul, moves in my life, and I feel His very presence, knowing what heaven's going to feel like. I wouldn't give that up for all the boats and all the cars and all the stuff in this world. See, we're moved this morning by something. You're moved this morning by something. You're moved to be here. You're moved for Christmas. You're moved in your life by something that's unseen. But are you moved by faith in the God of heaven? Are you so moved that your offering goes based on what God moves you to give? That your works are done based on how God moves in your heart? Is your Christmas centered around God this year, or is it around a Christmas tree? Is your work centered around that faith in God? Have you asked God and prayed to Him about that job and that career and whether He'd have you to be there or somewhere else? Are you being able to help God's kingdom by doing as He'd so move you based on that place of employment, that career path? Does the works of your life mirror God's plan for you? Even down to your very hobby and the things that we do. Is that based around God's plan for your life? Or is it based around that unseen motivator called pride, selfishness, self-independence? You're moved by something this morning. I pray that you find a way to allow God into your life, to allow God into your heart, so that your motivator becomes the faith in Christ Jesus. The one that John the Baptist, we read about him, sheepskin, goatskin, remember reading? Yeah, he was a crazy man. Went out to the wilderness preaching about one coming. God still has crazy men. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save mankind. That's what the Bible says. He has crazy men. Brother Willard's crazy. I mean, that guy right there. Crazy. All stiff leg. Fired up in the Spirit of God. Amen. Yeah, Brother Barry, Brother Doug, we're crazy. We're a little bit fanatical. You should be too. Because when God gets a hold of you, it'll change what you do. I've had people say, Brother, I can't give up. Let me tell you something. If you got a hold of something that's not godly, you want to give it up. You ought to give it up. But if you got something in your life that God can use and will you, you don't have to give those things up. God will just turn around your motivation for doing those things and turn it into something that becomes godly. I mean, I know people that does fishing and has hobbies they like to do, hunts and different things. Listen, it don't have to be something against the kingdom of God. It can be used in a godly manner. You just have to have your motivation fixed right. I pray that your motivation this morning, that unseen driver in your life, is not through the selfishness and the things of this world, but it's through faith in Christ Jesus. Can we get the song ready, Melody, if you don't mind?